bringing you the latest in tax credit news, insight, and analysis. This is Tax Credit Tuesday with your host, Michael Novogratic.
Hello, I'm Michael Novogratic, and this is Tax Credit Tuesday. This is the May 21st, 2024 podcast. As our viewers on YouTube can see, I'm pleased to have as my guest this week, Greg Clements, a partner in Novogratic's Dover, Ohio office. Greg is one of Novogratic's leading experts when it comes to renewable energy, historic, and new markets tax credits, as well as opportunity zones. His expertise and experience with new markets tax credits is why he is a guest on today's episode. Today, we're going to discuss the most common exit for new markets tax credit transactions. For this seasoned listener, this is the put-call structure. This is a topic that affects each of the three key players involved in a new markets tax credit subsidized financing, namely the new markets tax credit investor, the community development entity, or CDE, and the qualified active long-term community business. Now, the investor, as the name implies, is the entity or company that's investing equity in a CDE to receive the benefits of the new markets tax credits. And those benefits are claimed over 7 years. Now, the community development entity, or CDE, is the entity that has a new market tax credit allocation and uses the investment from the investor to provide below market financing to a qualified business. And ultimately, the new market tax credit is all about the qualified business, which is a for-profit or nonprofit that serves low-income persons in a low-income community. Now, a qualified business is technically a qualified active low-income community business. Those are the initials QALICB. And it often goes by qualified business, but it often also goes by those initials, by the acronym QALICB or QALICB. And in a moment, we'll hear which of those versions Greg uses. Now, the put-call structure is put in place at the beginning of the new market tax credit financing, when the investor negotiates the transaction and then makes their investment in the CDE. And the put call structure is generally triggered after the end of year seven, as year seven marks the end of the new market tax credit compliance period, which means the risk of recapture becomes zero. And more technically, year seven is referencing the end of 7 years from the date the investor made their initial, or I should say their qualified equity investment into the CDE. If they make multiple equity investments, which is atypical now, wasn't atypical at the beginning, then it would be 7 years from the last of those qualified equity investments. Now, in today's episode, Greg and I are first going to explain, I should say Greg is going to explain, that's the royal we, what a put call structure is, as well as why it exists. We'll then identify how a year seven exit under the put call structure generally affects each of the three major players in a new market tax credit financing structure. As I explained earlier, the investor, the CDE, and the qualified business. We'll dive into some of the key details around planning, timing, and communication as year seven approaches, the end of year seven approaches. I did want to, though, make a quick note, provide a quick note to the audience. As one of Novogratic's leading new market tax credit experts, Greg is chairing our upcoming Novogratic 2024 Spring New Markets Tax Credit Conference. It's taking place in a few weeks. It's on Thursday, June 6th and Friday, June 7th at the Fremont Hotel at Washington, D.C. And we also have some optional workshops on Wednesday before the conference. During that conference, we are hosting a panel specifically about year seven exits, and our colleague, George Barlow, is moderating that panel. To learn more or to register for the conference or the workshops, please visit the Novogratic website at www.novogratic.com or simply search Conference Novogratic New Markets Tax Credits. And I'm sure Google or Bing or one of the other search engines will take you there. We have a lot to discuss today. So if you're ready, let's get started. Greg, welcome back. It's your third appearance on Tax Credit Tuesday.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
So it's great to have you back on the podcast. But before we discuss today's topic, please take a moment to share with our listeners some information about some of the many services you provide to Novogratz clients.
Sure. As you noted in your opening, I work in a lot of different areas, but specifically for the new market space, I work with Quilligbees, CDEs, investors, and lenders. My team and I assist with structuring and forecasting projects before the QEI and Quilligbees are closed, along with before closing, providing compliance reports for Quilligbee status and the qualification of prior incurred costs. After closing of the QEI, we work with CDEs and Quilligbees to provide audit and tax services during the compliance period. In certain cases, our clients have us provide compliance services and reporting for both CDEs and Quilligbees for the various tests that they have to take. Close to the end of the compliance period, we have assisted with Quilligbees planning for their exit, mostly by providing memos and forecasts so the Quilligbees and their affiliates can plan the consequences of the exit.
And that latter service is what created the genesis for this podcast, talking about assisting clients as year seven approaches with the exit. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, the three key players are the investor, the CDE, and the qualified business. And they should be thinking about the exit before year seven arrives. But before I go into too many detailed areas, I thought it was important that we start with the put call structure and what it is and why it exists. You know, when I say the put call structure, I'm referring to the put agreement that the investor enters into with a qualified business or its affiliate, as well as a call agreement that the qualified business or their affiliate wants to have. So with that as background, if you could unpack that for the audience, that would be excellent.
Great. A put call agreement is the most common exit in a leveraged new market tax credit transaction. It's what we normally see for leverage transactions. And typically it's a structure put in place between the project sponsor, Quilligbee owner, and the tax credit investor. The tax credit investor, after the compliance period, has an option to put its investment in the QEI to the Quilligbee or its affiliate. And the Quilligbee affiliate has the option to call the tax credit investor's investment in the QEI. The availability of the options start after the 7-year compliance period is ended, and the put period is first. And it normally is available for a window of time, 60, 90 days, something like that. And the put price is normally equal to the assumption of the leveraged loan and a payment in cash of a nominal amount. After the put period expires, the call period begins. The call price is typically fair market value of the tax credit investment or the QEI. What the put effectively allows is for the Quilligbee or its affiliate to purchase the A loan and the B loan. And because of the price, what it is, they're buying their own debt at a discount. And when a Quilligbee or a taxpayer buys its own debt at a discount, it creates a taxable event. Now, all this exists because at closing, when the QEI and the Quilligbees are made, a below market option of exiting is not available. It's not allowed for tax purposes. The loans, the Quilligbees, need to be respected as true debt. And if they're not respected as true debt, then the credits don't exist and the tax credit investor would not get any tax credits at all. So it's important that the put and the call is not entered. The agreement to have the put and the call is entered into, but an agreement to exercise the put is not entered into at closing.
Great. Thank you for that background on the put call. structure. And I would just note for our listeners and our experience with new markets that we talk about a leverage structure. We're referring to a structure where the equity investor is investing simply for the tax credits. And there's a separate loan or debt product that leverages that equity investor's investment. And when I think of the put call structure myself, at a super simplistic level, I think of the put as the investor saying, I want to know at the end of year seven, I have an exit. I'm here, I'm investing for my tax credits for 7 years, and I want to know that at the end of 7 years, I can leave the investment and I have a ready-made buyer. So I have the right to put that investment to a ready-made buyer at the put price, which nets me as the equity investor in the tax credits a nominal amount of cash. Similarly, the qualified business or their affiliate, they want to know at the end of the 7 year period that they have an exit strategy, because the new market tax credit subsidy will have burned off by then for the most part, and they want to sort of unwind the transaction, and they want to know that they have the right to take a step to unwind the transaction. And as Greg very eloquently pointed out, they can't have a right to buy out the investor at below market price, because if they had a right to buy the investor out at a below market price, they would not be respected as an equity investor. Or there's a strong tax risk that they would not be respected as a equity investor. So it does need to be at fair market value. So sometimes it'll be referred to as a below market put and a market rate call as a way of trying to address the needs of both parties and at the same time meeting the needs of all parties, which is that the transaction be respected for federal income tax purposes. So with that as our discussion or general overview of the put call structure, in the intro, I did mention the three key parties and just references the three key parties again, but my definition of it fairly general. And I thought, Greg, it might be helpful once again to maybe level set a bit if you described a little bit more about what qualified businesses are, who the typical investors are, as well as how CDEs come to be in a position to play the roles that they play in these structures.
Sure. Qualified active low-income community businesses, or QLIGBs, are the actual projects that are getting financed. For example, they could be charter schools, hospitals, medical centers, manufacturing plants, and there's a laundry list of other options, none of which are SIN businesses. That's another topic, but they could be virtually...
To interject there, in some ways, a qualified local community business is an active business serving a low-income community, and the business can also be a nonprofit. But there are a list of so-called SIN businesses that the statute specifically carves out as types of businesses that aren't eligible to receive this type of financing. Thank you for letting me answer that, Greg.
Yeah, no problem. And we've been talking about affiliates of QLIGBs for the counterparty of the put. These affiliates are either owners of the QLIGB or controlling organizations of the QLIGB. Sometimes the option agreement isn't directly with the QLIGB, it's with the owner or the controlling organization of the QLIGB. Mike talked about new market tax credit investors. Those are typically large financial institutions. There are some exceptions, but most of the time they are large financial institutions. And the last group is community development entities, or CDEs. These are organizations that have applied to the CDFI fund to obtain new market tax credit allocation authority. If they're successful, they become stewards of the New Markets Tax Credit allocation and have the authority and responsibility to select the quilligbies that get invested in and are ultimately the beneficiaries of the allocation.
Brett, thank you for that overview. Now, when we're discussing puts and calls, maybe you could elaborate on who the holder of the put is and who the holder of the call is, or at least the rights under the put and the rights under the call.
Sure. The put option may be exercised by the tax credit investor, and it forces the quilligbee or its affiliate to purchase the tax credit investor's investment in the QEI or qualified equity investment. Like I said earlier, this option window is first in the order of the options and the price is below market. If the put is exercised, the call effectively disappears. The quilligbee or its affiliate has the call and can force the tax credit investor to sell its investment in the qualified equity investment to the quilligbee affiliate for fair market value. The call is really only applicable if the tax credit investor chooses not to exercise the put.
So that sounds simple enough. And as you, when you're working with clients, you are more than reasonably thinking about this in advance of execution. And this is something that realistically is thought about at the beginning when the forecasts are done. One of the reasons why a 7-year forecast is done for a New Markets Tax Credit transaction, there's a variety of reasons, but one is to model what the possible exits are depending upon if the put or the call is exercised. And as part of that, at the beginning, not as much consideration oftentimes is given to the impact of the exit. Because you're at the beginning, you're seeking below market financing for the project or for the business. And the last thing you'd be concerned about are the results at the end. And of course, I'm referencing here the fact that there are federal income tax consequences of the exercise of the put or the call. So I thought we would start with the investor. And if you could describe the income tax effect on the investor of exercising the put. And in this context, I'm just reminding our audience that this is a leverage structure where the investor is putting in equity in exchange for an economic interest in the CDE, which is principally going to come through the claiming of New Markets Tax Credits. And there is a third party or leverage loan that's involved in the transaction.
Right. So for the tax credit investor in a leveraged structure, if the put or the call is exercised, there is typically a gain for the tax credit investor. And the main reason that there's a gain for the tax credit investor is that there's a required basis reduction for the New Markets Tax Credits. The New Markets Tax Credit percentage is 39%, and it's delivered over 6 years in one day to the tax credit investor, assuming there's no recapture event during the 7-year compliance period. The tax credit investor generally provides around 30% of the capital needed for the qualified equity investment, and the remainder of the QEI is provided for by a leveraged lender. So if we remember that the put price is normally an assumption of the leveraged loan plus a nominal amount of cash, the tax credit investor is effectively being relieved of the debt. So that's part of the purchase price. Generally, the tax credit investor's equity, like I said, starts at around 30% of the QEI, and then they have a basis reduction for the New Markets Tax Credits of 39% of the QEI. And that gets the tax credit investor to a position with that basis reduction and the release of the liability of the leveraged loan through the put price they end up with a negative capital account upon disposition. And when you have a negative capital account upon disposition, you have a gain. And again, the real reason for the gain in a new market tax credit leverage transaction is the basis reduction.
I'm glad that you emphasized the basis reduction, because you're sort of summarizing the fact that in a leverage transaction, for $39, very $39 in tax credits, the investor might be investing roughly $30. And this $39 in essence of credits is taxable in a sense. It's as if they were getting a, so there, that's the basis reduction ends up making this in essence a taxable credit. So they're getting $39 of benefit for every $30 of investment. And that difference of $9 is taxable, and ends up that amount ends up being taxable on the exit to the investor. And when you think about sort of corporate tax rates and the rest, that can be roughly a $7 benefit, after-tax benefit over the 7-year period. So from a time value of money perspective, it's a reasonable yield for the investor, but it just reflects the fact that there's this time value of money, as well as the fact that it is a tax credit. Now, there are other tax credits that are non-taxable. And when you're referring to other non-taxable credits, I think of the low-income housing tax credit. The low-income housing tax credit is a non-taxable credit. And as a consequence, the equity pricing for a low-income housing tax credit reflects the fact that it is a non-taxable credit. Whereas the equity pricing for new markets is reflective of the fact that it's a taxable credit. Greg?
The big impact related to the put for Quiligby or the Quiligby affiliate is cancellation of addendas. Like we touched on before, if the put occurs, the Quiligby is purchasing its own debt for a discount. That creates a taxable event for them equal to the debt that is effectively forgiven. Generally, that's roughly equivalent to the B loan. That means the Quiligby and their affiliates need to start planning early for this event, because it's a non-cash taxable event. If we think about the order of things, the Quiligby got the cash related to this future gain when the Quilickies were lent to the Quiligby borrower, and the Quiligby used those funds to complete the project. So the cash went into the building, the manufacturing plant, whatever. So that cash isn't readily available to pay taxes. So not only should they be thinking about the potential tax liability, they should also be thinking about what steps they need to be taking to make sure that the put or the call is exercised. And so they need to be tracking that and understand that they may have responsibilities to give notice to the CDE, to the investor, because they don't want the put period and the call period to go by without notice, because those are specific windows of time. And depending on the way the put and the call agreement is drafted, like I said, the Quiligby may be required to notify the investor that these windows are coming up or are happening. It's important for the Quiligby to be familiar with the exit and all the possibilities and everybody's responsibilities for the exit, so it can be executed without a hitch. So I think it's important that Quiligbys start thinking about the exit a year or two before the end of the compliance period. And that may seem like a long time, but if you think about how long some construction periods can happen, you could have the QEI Quiligby closing, and then sometimes it's a year, 18 months for the construction period. So you're 2 years into it almost. And then if you have to lease up the if it's a building or a business that you have to lease up, you have a year, another 18 months for stabilization. You're already halfway through the compliance period. So it happens pretty quick. 7 years is not a long time.
No, it is not. It gets you a lot faster than a lot of clients are expecting. And I will also note, this is a bit of a tangent, but when you made the reference to Qualikis, it reminded me of an article that I wrote probably 20 years ago or more, entitled The ABCs of CDEs, where I went through a number of various acronyms, and you mentioned Qualiki, and Qualiki is shorthand for Qualified Loan Company Investment. Obviously, you know that, but for our listeners who aren't, Qualikis is short for Qualified Low Income Community Investment, and that's the investment that the CDE makes to the qualified business. So you can think of it as a CDE makes a Qualiki to a Qualiki. So Greg, in my intro, I did note that qualified businesses often are nonprofits. And what we talked about so far about being taxable and the rest, as a general matter, we're referring to qualified businesses that are taxable entities. So, you know, many listeners and viewers or audience will be looking at this thinking, well, my qualified business is tax exempt. So if you could explain the impact for our audience on your seven exits on tax exempt entities, that would be helpful.
Sure. Generally, as long as the income and the use of the Qualiki proceeds aligns with the nonprofit's purpose, it's not going to be a taxable event. Again, that assumes that the Newmark tax credit proceeds was aligned, the use of those proceeds was aligned with the nonprofit's purpose or enhances their ability to continue their mission. So, but let's assume if you have a university that built a dorm or classrooms, that's probably going to be okay. But if you have a university that built a strip mall, it's probably not going to be okay. And I think it's important if you're a nonprofit that closed a Newmark tax credit transaction, it's important to talk with your 990 preparer. And as a taxpayer or as a nonprofit and the tax preparer, need to understand what the unwind is and make sure that it's not a taxable event. And if it is, plan for it appropriately.
And that always reminds me of the Stephen Covey observation in his book about the seven habits of highly effective people, that you should begin with the end in mind. And this is an example where these issues, as Greg mentioned, you certainly have to be thinking about towards the end of your seven, but realistically, it's something that the qualified business should be thinking about initially when the transaction being structured to ensure that you're taking the steps to, if possible, to ensure that the amount will be tax exempt at the end of your seven. And you don't want to be thinking about it year seven and wish you had done something different versus the original structure. So with all of this in line, with respect to year seven exits and the consequences, what advice do you have for investors, for qualified businesses, for the CDEs themselves that they should be thinking about? Or maybe start with investors and qualified businesses first, and then we'll come back to CDEs.
Sure. I think overall, timing, planning, and communication are important, and that goes for everybody. Timing is critical because of the differences in the timeline between the tax credit investors. They want to get out of the tax credit transaction exactly 7 years and a day after closing of the QEI. The Qualikis, who actually have to pay the taxes, they may be incentivized to ask the investor to delay the put a little bit. Just think about it. If the QEI closed at the end of the year, at the end of their tax year, they may be incentivized to ask the investor, hey, if you're gonna exercise your put, could you wait until January or the beginning of my tax year to push the unwind into a new taxable year? And that way it would delay the amount of tax liability due, just the timing. Another reason to start the conversation early is you might be dealing with the same organization. There are transfers that could happen during the 7-year compliance period at the tax credit investor level, but generally you're going to be dealing with the same organizations. But there's a very real possibility that the people that you sat across the table from when you negotiated this transaction and worked very hard doing all the due diligence and the forecasting, there's a real possibility that the actual people that are going to be involved with the unwind are not the same because of turnover, people taking new jobs and the like. Again, I said 7 years isn't a long time, but people change jobs all the time. So it's something to think about. That's why starting the conversation early is important. It could help lay out expectations and understand the goals of all parties, make sure everybody's on the same page. I think also for polygamies, talking to your tax preparer early is important. Read your agreements early. Look at your situation, your current situation, and analyze it for how the unwind would impact you. You need to figure out your options. You need to work with your tax preparer and possibly attorneys in order to achieve your goals. I said this earlier, but it's still important. Sometimes there's language in agreements about who has to notify whom. And sometimes the quolibee is responsible to notify the investor that the put period is starting. So if the quolibee sponsor is a for-profit or owned by individuals, there's probably going to be a taxable event around the exit. And this, like we said earlier, is normally a non-cash taxable event equal to around whatever the B loan is. So you will have to come up with cash to pay for that tax liability, and you need to be able to plan for that. That being said, quolibees may have options depending on the circumstances. So doing the analysis, understanding your situation, you need to think about things like, do you have anything that you can use against that non-cash taxable income? Do you have carried forward net operating losses? Do you have carried forward credits of any kind? And those are just things that need to be thought of and analyzed coming up to that put and call period.
Thank you for that, Greg. And I feel like there's a lot more that we could discuss with respect to the qualified business when it's a taxable entity or its affiliate in terms of ways in which to handle the timing of the income recognition event, as well as the consequences of the income recognition event in terms of how it gets reported among the various entities, the quolibee and the quolibee affiliates. But that's well beyond the substance of this podcast. But I would encourage quolibees and their affiliates to work closely with your Novogratz professional or your own individual tax advisor to help identify the various tax planning strategies so you can best handle the income recognition event. And I'll leave it at that without getting into the consequences of the discharge of that disincome if it ends up being reported as such, and basis adjustments and all the rest. So I'll leave it at that. And like I said, do reach out to a NOGRAD professional, your own tax advisor, to address some of the other structural options there. Now, one key player that we have mentioned a lot in the course of this discussion is community development entities. But in the context of the put-call structure, we've really emphasized the consequences, the income tax consequences on the investor, the income tax consequences and considerations for the call it business or its affiliate. But there is the community development entity, which is at the center, at the heart of this transaction. What should CDEs be thinking about as your seven approaches, Greg?
Yeah, so CDEs are the groups that normally interact with the Quiligbees the most during the compliance period. They've likely been getting financial reports from the Quiligbee, compliance reports from the Quiligbee, and any reporting around the community benefits agreement for the 7 years. So many times the CDEs are the folks that end up reminding the Quiligbees that they're going to have an exit and a big taxable event. The CDEs generally don't have a taxable event. Most of them are LLCs taxed as partnerships. There are exceptions. But what I see is normally just a distribution of the Quiligbees in liquidation of partnership interests. So really no taxable event at that level on the tax return. But there is a risk of penalties for the CDEs and the sub-CDEs. So the CDEs should be providing their tax preparers with constant communication about the exits that are coming up, what the dates are, and provide timely information so tax extensions can be filed. When you have a new market tax credit unwind, your last tax year is going to be a short tax year. And it's not going to have the same tax filing deadlines as you're used to. So it's important to have, whenever your tax preparer is doing tax returns for last year, you should be talking about what unwinds are going to happen in the next year. So everyone's on the same page about when to expect the unwind documents, when extensions are going to need to be filed, and when the ultimate filing deadlines are going to need to happen. That way you can avoid any deadlines being missed and you can avoid any potential penalties for late filed returns.
Right. Thank you for that reminder about the short tax year and some penalties for late filing and the rest. I'd also kind of re-emphasize for the audience that we are talking about here about a leveraged like a benefit structure, where the full amount of the subsidy ends up being sunk in the qualified business. There are other CDE investment structures that are more of an evergreen approach to use of the new market tax credit allocation. And in some of these evergreen sorts of approaches, the consequences to the CDE are dramatically different. And the CDE becomes a more critical party to these income tax consequences discussions. And maybe we'll save that for another podcast.
Mike, I think you and I actually did a podcast on that very topic.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I will put a link to it. Good memory. Your memory's better than mine. But then again, I've had a few more podcasts than you, so I'll give
That's true.
A bit of credit on that. So we will link to that podcast, and thanks for that good recall, Greg.
No problem.
So Greg, if you could also describe some other resources that are available for our audience, I'm sure they'd be interested in hearing them.
Well, you can feel free to call me or any other Novogradic team member, and we'd be happy to assist you and help you think through your analysis. I think also I would encourage everyone to take a look at attending the Novogradic 2024 Spring New Markets Tax Credit Conference. As Mike said, it's June 6th and June 7th at the Fairmont in Washington, D.C. And like Mike said, there's going to be a specific panel for your seven exits along with a lot of other excellent topics. On Wednesday, June 5th, there are two workshops also available. In the morning, we'll have a New Market Tax Credit Basics workshop. And in the afternoon, we have a New Market Tax Credit Compliance workshop. They don't overlap. So if you want, you can go to you can go to both. I think that the New Market Tax Credit Working Group is a good group to join for resources and to learn more about the current events in the New Market Tax Credit space. And you can reach out to me or to Brad Elphick, a partner of ours, if you'd like to join.
Thank you very much, Greg. And I would encourage our audience to reach out to Greg or other NovaTax professionals as you approach your unwinds. And I'll echo the encouragement to join us at the New Market Tax Credit Conference in Washington, D.C. One of the many other highlights that beyond what you've heard about already is Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Republican Jason Smith, will provide a keynote. We're going to do a keynote question and answer period, so please join us for that as well. I'm certainly interested in his take on where the current tax bill that's in the Senate sits, which doesn't have a direct impact on the New Market Tax Credits, but has a pretty dramatic impact on affordable housing and has a real significance to renewable energy and other tax incentives. In terms of getting hold of Greg, I'll include his contact information in the show notes for today's episode. And before we get to the off mic section, I always like to remind our audience to subscribe to our podcast, whatever platform you prefer. And please do share the podcast with your colleagues who may also be interested in learning more about community development tax incentives. So with that, we'll turn to our off mic section. And Greg, as I think for the past few months, we've been using the off mic section as an opportunity to offer a shout out to someone working in community development and affordable housing, renewable energy, and the like. So since we're doing a podcast here on New Market Tax Credits, I thought it'd be good if you could give a shout out to someone in the community development space.
Sure. I'd like to give a shout out to Jay Taylor. He is a partner at the law firm Friday, Eldridge, and Clark, located in Little Rock, Arkansas. Jay is a tax credit and real estate attorney and has been a friend of mine for many years. In the tax credit space, he normally represents CLGBs or projects and also tax credit investors inside the new market space. He also practices in renewable energy. But yeah, that's who I would like to give a shout out to and highlight.
Great. Thank you for that shout out. And Jay, let me give my shout out as well. I echo Greg's sentiments. Thanks for your efforts to advance low-income communities and serve low-income families in low-income communities to the New Market Tax Credits and all your assistance. And let me just say in closing, thank you, Greg. And to our listeners, I'm Mike Novogradac. Thanks for listening.
This weekly podcast has been brought to you by Novogradac & Company, LLP. Archived podcasts are available online at www.novaco.com/podcast or by subscribing to the Tax Credit Tuesday podcast in iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Radio Public. You can find related links referenced in this podcast on our website at www.novaco.com/podcast. Novogradac & Company, LLP is a national certified public accounting and consulting firm with offices nationwide. Learn more about our professional services at www.novaco.com.